time is 8:06. Currently, partly cloudy skies in downtown Wausau at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 38 degrees is the temperature. Looks like another very pleasant day, and glad you could join me for the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up on the program today, in hour number two at 9:20, we'll be joined by the president of the Wausau School Board, Jim Boucher. Of course, earlier this week on Monday, the Wausau School Board voted to overturn the previous decision agreed on back in February that would have merged the two high schools here in Wausau, Wausau West and Wausau East. But on a 5-4 vote earlier this week, the board reversed that, saying that both the high schools and the junior high schools would stay the same, and then they'll look at some consolidation within the elementary schools. And we'll talk to the board president, Mr. Boucher, coming up at 9:20 this morning. Also coming up in just a few minutes, in about 15 minutes or so, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we are. I got a message last night concerning Mr. Boucher coming on and concerning maybe the way that I've been talking about this issue, and also about some comments that our owner, Mr. Weil, Sage Weil, made on Todd Alba's show. And I think there's a little bit of confusion on what exactly I'm trying to accomplish here and maybe what we're trying to accomplish here. I'm going to kind of go over our mission statement because I do think it's important. It's out there on our website, but I'm not sure many of you have gone there yet. And I want to kind of underline that because I do think it's kind of important as we talk about, I think, significant issues both here in central Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, nationally, and even worldwide from time to time. So we'll do that in a few minutes as well. Before we continue, I'd like to say good morning to my producer, Sage. No, Sage is not my producer. Ian Welsh is my producer. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Ian, we'll talk more later, but I do have a man that's waiting because I don't like to make this man wait. He's so kind to stick around after his show from 6 until 8 a.m. Up North News that you hear each and every weekday morning right here on Bow Falls Radio. Very happy to welcome back to the program Pat Kreitlow. And Pat, good morning.
Well, good morning, but wow, consider me cheesed. I want to hear this next segment. Get this Kreitlow guy out of the way here. We have important things to talk about.
Well, as you well know, I think that sometimes there's an expectation that we're all going to agree on every issue all the time, and frankly, that's just not the case. I mean, these are too complicated.
Nobody does. My wife has been with me for nearly 40 years, and we still don't agree on everything. You never should, and that goes for politics. I mean, look what happened in the Capitol this week, where you had people on either side of the aisle for and against the Brewer Stadium bill. You had people on either side of the aisle for or against this big overhaul of liquor law regulations. So, no, not everything cuts right down party lines, ideological lines, employment lines. Every one of the talk show hosts here on Civic Media, we don't agree on everything either, but I think that's where we bring value to an all-day listener.
And I think you hit it on the head. I think, though, this Brewer Stadium bill, I think a little differently than some of the other folks that I've been listening to on our very same network. I guess the thing is, we don't sing from the same hymnal all the time, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, what happens is there's a difference between positions and values. And we share, and anybody can share similar values, mm-hmm. but disagree on the positions that get us there. You know, some people, let's just pick education. You know, I'm a big advocate of public schools. Now, some people would say, great, you give those public schools whatever they want. They're the experts. And I'd be the one saying, well, no, not necessarily. For, you know, when I was in the legislature, I took a lot of heat because as pro-education as I am, and as much as I would love to have four-year-old, you know, pre-K kindergarten programs in every district, I was legislator during the Great Recession. And I said, guys, I would love to do this, but there's only so much in the state budget. And people are saying, well, just raise taxes for it. And I'm like, guys, I'm totally sympathetic with you, but I don't think I can go along with that. And people thought that I was just a terrible person at the time. But again, we have the same values, just not always the same positions.
Let's talk about that big story this week. I was going to say to you, I was thinking about this, is I think the least surprising piece of news that we've seen this year in the Wisconsin State Legislature is that the Brewer bill was passed. Because it was going to pass. I think that was the case. It was going to pass, and ultimately it did pass. At this point, what is your thoughts on this? Is this a good deal for the state of Wisconsin?
Well, where do you come at it from a term of value? And I have said a couple of times here that I think there is a role for government to play in economic development of all kinds. And it doesn't matter if it's a very wealthy guy like Mark Adonasio or a very wealthy guy like your new friend and buddy, Terry Wall. You know, there are people who have a lot of money, but before they invest it, they're looking for buy-ins. They're looking for partners. And so that's why you've got these debates at the city government level, at the state government level. And my feeling, you know, on it was I never did pick a perfect number and say this is what the state number should be, this is what the Brewers number should be. I just looked at what was negotiated and said, is that worth it for the economic impact of having Major League Baseball in the smallest market in Major League Baseball? And in my case, the answer was, yeah, I would have been a yes on this bill. It doesn't mean I'm crazy about helping multimillionaires. But again, I'd look at the economic development and say, if this is what got negotiated, I can go along with it.
I think ultimately I agree with you on the big picture that, yes, there was a deal to be made. Aspects that, again, I kind of look like, you know, maybe beyond just this in a very narrow way, is that we always seem to find the way to a solution in an issue like this and many other issues that don't have multi-million dollar lobbyists working on it 24/7 are much more difficult. And I completely understand some of the other comments saying, yeah, we can do both and we can work on it. But this always seems to get done first. And I guess that's maybe a frustration that many people have when it comes to, again, ultimately, where is the wheels greased to make things go smoothly? And it often has to do with who has the right lobbyists and the right ears when it comes to government. And that, I still think, is a rather significant problem that we face, not just, you know, here in Wisconsin, but just generally within our system.
Well, here's the interesting thing. It's about, you know, are you working on an issue where other people are bringing money to the table? In the case of the Brewers, yes, they were bringing money to the table. In the case of the liquor overhaul bill, obviously the Tavern League, the bars, the breweries, the distillers, they're bringing money to the table because they want to help implement a solution. And yeah, they also have lobbyists. But then when you have something like, again, let's come back to say public schools, schools aren't bringing money to the table. They are reliant upon both the state government and the property taxpayer. So those issues don't get worked out as easily because, you know, it's easier to work with the person who's helping pay for part of the implementation than for doing the basics where you don't have somebody else helping fund it. You've got to go to the taxpayer and say, here's the best deal I think we can get for you. And of course, there's always going to be taxpayers that say, nope, that's still too much. I don't want to do it.
And one other aspect about this that I always get concerned about, because I've talked about this on my program a bit, is I get this baseball newsletter every day from a guy named Craig Calcaterra, who used to be an NBC sports writer. And for many years, he's been writing about issues such as this, where professional sports teams will put out this, you know, these studies that say that there's this incredible economic benefit to this, while there are other studies that I think are more of a, I would call it almost a nonpartisan study, as opposed to somebody, you know, paying for a study that makes themselves look good, that say there is very little in terms of what the incredible amount of money that's put into stadiums actually brings to an area. And I've heard, and I think it was on your show even yesterday, where you and Todd were talking about it, and Todd says, oh, I believe that there is an economic benefit. Well, how closely do the legislators look at some of these these studies and say, okay, there is an actual benefit beyond just the feeling that we are getting a benefit? Because obviously there are, you can point out, you know, okay, X number of these, but the studies that I've looked at that Craig Calcaterra has been very good about pointing out on this newsletter is that it's overblown. And then you, as a former member of the legislature, how much do they actually look at that when making these decisions?
Let me give you the most entertaining non-answer possible. And it comes courtesy of Jimmy the Greek and the old CBS show, The NFL Today, the very first big-time NFL pregame show. And Jimmy the Greek would make these predictions on this board. And on the board was like offense, defense, quarterback, coaching, weather. And then there's always this one at the bottom. And it was how I learned this word as a kid. Intangibles.
I remember.
And how I learned that intangibles, those things you can't put your hands on, they're almost like a feeling, they're a sense. And that's really what this is the intangibles of, yeah, you lose a baseball club, say in this example, and you lose the payroll, you lose the taxes, but what else do you lose in terms of those intangibles, the conventions that don't come to town, the support businesses or what have you? We saw this in Eau Claire over the debate over having an arena or a performing arts center, because we didn't for over a generation. And we'd be watching the lacrosse center get all of this convention business, all this conference business. Well, that part you can see directly, mm-hmm. but the indirect, the intangible, was a very healthy, vibrant downtown lacrosse compared to downtown Eau Claire, which was all but dead. Fast forward 30 years, and now Eau Claire does have a new and wonderful performing arts center. The downtown has become vibrant again, but I don't know that you can measure that in dollars and cents.
Very, very good. Well, again, really appreciate you always spending a few minutes after you wrap things up at 8 o'clock. Enjoy this beautiful Thursday and enjoy the weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Chad. See you later.
That is Pat Kreitlow again, host of Up North News Radio, each and every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. We're going to come right back, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're trying to accomplish here. But Sage Wiles talk to us about every week at our meetings and what I'm trying to accomplish here as well. That's coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, again, would like to say good morning to Ian Welch. Didn't have much time before we had Pat Kreitlow on, but Ian, again, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Off to a good start.
Yes, we are.
That's what we like to hear, and I'm going to try to keep it on the rails for at least another hour and 40 minutes.
Beautiful day.
It certainly is, and we will have a complete chance to look at the weather with Jennifer Vuchiski from Weatherology coming up at 9:06. Again, at 9:20, we'll have a chance to talk to the president of the Wausau School Board, Jim Boucher. And coming up at 9:34 this morning, we're going to hear a discussion that I had last evening with a very talented young student-athlete, Tristan Wicklund from Mosinee High School. She was our student athlete guest last night on the Big High School Sports Show. Wanted to share that discussion with you coming up at the bottom of the hour. But in this segment, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, how I look at things and I look at this program. It's a program that is constantly evolving because I've not done anything like this before. And also I want to talk about what Civic Media is all about, because I did receive a message and I said in the reply back that I do appreciate it, because I do. It's not one of those things where you're saying, I appreciate it, and then it goes in one ear and out the other. That, people can be either happy or unhappy with choices that I make in terms of either guests or the way that I fall on issues. But I wanted to kind of delve in, because the message also talked a little bit about being disappointed in something that Sage Weil, our owner and president, said. And he was on the Todd Alba show talking about, again, the core mission and values of civic media and what we're all about. And I would encourage you to go to civicmedia.us, because all of what I'm going to talk about is actually laid out right there. Go to civicmedia.us and then click on About at the top of the page, and you'll be able to go to basically what civic media is about, talking about the mission and the vision and the core values and other aspects. And starting with the mission, and I wanted to share this with you just to give you a little sense of what Sage and everybody, I think, that is on board, and I think that myself and so many others are completely on board with what civic media is all about. It's not about being a opposite of what the conservative radio station across town is. Yes, from time to time, I'm going to bring up something that maybe I've heard being spoke about over there, but it's not a case of where they say something and I'm going to fall on the opposite side. There are some issues that would be, I would consider, partisan issues, and I think there are some issues that would be nonpartisan issues. And one thing that I'm not going to do is get in front of a microphone and spout information that I don't believe in. And you may disagree with me. You may agree with me 80% of the time and disagree with me 20% of the time, or you may disagree with me 80% of the time and agree with me 20% of the time. But one thing that I can promise you is that it's going to be based on what I believe. And I think the note came from somebody I would agree with on a great deal of the issues that we discuss. And but I wanted, again, just to kind of underline it. And again, I encourage you to go to our website to take this look. But the mission here for Civic Media is to inform, delight, and entertain listeners with honest and engaging programming that advances the understanding of local, regional, and state issues in the communities we serve. And I think, you know, there's every word of that is important, but honest is the big one. We can disagree. We can disagree without being disagreeable. And I know that some of these issues are passionate. I know the issue that we're going to talk about in the next hour about the schools and whether or not it's a good idea or not good idea, the original plan that was passed to consolidate the high schools or the newest plan that was passed just this week that will not consolidate the high schools. I don't see it as a partisan issue. I hope it's not a partisan issue, because I know I disagree with some people that normally I would agree with. And I know that I agree with on this issue with some people that I would normally disagree with. So again, not every issue is a partisan issue. But again, please know that's the mission. Number one, honesty and engaging. And the core values. And this is something that we hear from our owner and president, Sage Weil, every week when we get together. Every week, it's vital. He wants to make sure that we are on the same page and we understand what these values are that we're trying to accomplish here at Civic Media. Talking about democracy, and that's the one thing that Sage talks about more than anything else. It is democracy, protecting democracy. Not in a partisan way, not pushing one party or another, but pushing democracy, number one. The crucial role media plays in the practice of democracy, and believe that our democratic institutions are best served when our citizens receive the highest quality information possible. Our platform welcomes everyone who stands for a government of, by, and for the people. Those who cherish the sanctity of every individual vote in this ever-evolving experiment that is our democracy. Another core value, as I said earlier, is honesty. Not playing the game of trying to juice up the audience, trying to, you know, get the phone lines lit up because of how you go about it. And, you know, and I know that you know out there, there are many that will just do it that way. Basically play an issue to try to put some gasoline on a fire and just let it burn. No, no. And if you listen to the news updates at the top and bottom of every hour from our Civic Media newsroom in Madison, from Brittany Merlot here in Wausau, trying to be fact-based, not trying to push the agenda with our news coverage. And then, of course, we do have opinions. I have opinions. Every host has their opinions, but based on honesty in terms of our beliefs. And other core values, talking about prosperity, people, community, transparency. And again, please go take a look at the website, civicmedia.us, and then click on About, or go to civicmedia.us/about, because you can learn a lot. And again, we are going to disagree from time to time. And it bothers me, in fact. It really does. That's one of the hardest parts of this job for me. I have spent a career trying to do things within the schools more along the lines of the athletics and covering that. And back when I was very young, I was a news director, and I found it difficult because I didn't like bad news. I didn't like making people upset in any ways, whether it's a disagreement or whether it's the bad news. So it's something that I still work on. So again, I want you to know that anything that I say or do is coming from a core belief and a set of core values. And hopefully you'll listen and I'll listen to you, and we'll try to learn from each other and try to get the best information out there as possible. Again, it's just that I know that some of these issues are very, very, you know, important and also very, very, you know, close to the core of you out there. So, again, I just think I want to point you out to that website page. Again, check it out, because I think it gives an understanding on where Sage is coming from, why he's invested so much of his time, so much of his soul, so much of his heart, and so much of his money into this. It's very, very important. So we will hear from some of the terrific members of our civic media team, our news team. We'll get an update on what's going on around the state of Wisconsin and also around here in central Wisconsin. And then we'll be back and again hear from, I think, a very impressive young lady, Tristan Wickland from Mosinee High School. That's coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Last night we had another edition of the Big High School Sports Show, and every week very fortunate to be able to talk to a special student athlete here from central Wisconsin. And last night from Mosinee High School, three-sport athlete, player of the year in volleyball, outstanding performer in hockey and also softball, had a chance to talk to Tristan Wickland along with BJ Brandt, who was my co-host last night. And I wanted to share this with you because, again, a very special young lady. Here's the conversation we had with Tristan Wickland. When you look at the different sports, I mean, you play on the hardwood during the fall, you play on the ice during the winter, and then on the either the dirt or the artificial dirt, yeah. I know that you have in Mosinee during the spring. Could you maybe describe the differences in these sports? Because to be good at multiple sports, I think sometimes people think, well, you're a great athlete, you can do all these things, but there are different skill sets that are involved, aren't there?
Yeah, I feel like always the number one thing is just putting in the work no matter what. Like, even in volleyball in the summer, like, in the off season is, like, a big time to put in work for, I feel like, all sports. Even though, like, softball comes up in the spring, I feel like you still got to put in the work no matter what. And if you do, it shows. It truly does. Because, like, we had an athlete this year in volleyball. She joined 3 months in. She started volleyball. And she, by the end of the season, she was serving in playoffs for us. So putting in the work does show.
Just talk about the balance of being a three-sport athlete. It's not as common as it used to be. So talk about what that is for you and how you're able to balance it all.
I feel like I balance it with, like, time. I know that, like, in season, obviously my main focus is that sport that I'm in right now. But then I can always, like, put in time, like, on the weekends. If I have a free weekend, which is rare, I'll go in to, like, CTI or something and put in extra work just so I can balance and make sure I'm not, like, slacking in any sport.
I got a question. I don't know whether it's a good question to ask or not, because again, I don't know around it, but I don't know all the details. There's obviously, you know, you have a coach for volleyball, you got a coach for hockey, you got a coach for softball. And nowadays it feels like a lot of these sports, they're asking of their athletes a lot in terms of all year long. How do the coaches work together with you in order to make sure that, as you said, you know, when you're in the volleyball season, make sure that focus is there, or in the winter for hockey, and especially during the summer when there's a lot going on? How does that all work together? Do you have a lot of communication? Do coaches have communication with each other? Because from the outside, that seems like it would be one of the hardest things, because you don't want to say no to a coach.
Yeah.
Could you explain how that all works to make sure everything is balanced out to both the programs that you're part of advantage, and especially for your advantage?
Yeah, I feel like communication is like a big thing. Like during volleyball season, to have like, for example, like your captains, I feel like you look up to them and you always know that they can like talk to the coach one-on-one so they can know like what's going on. And then in hockey, since we have like a new coach this year, which is really exciting, I feel like the girls have learned to like trust her a lot this year and to grow like around her style of hockey. And I feel like communicating with her, everyone like really much appreciates what she has brought to the table for us. And then in softball, we also have a new coach this year. So I feel like it's a lot of new stuff coming, but I think we're all ready for it.
Again, we're talking to Tristan Wickland from Mosinee High School, also a member of the Central Wisconsin Storm, our student athlete this week on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Talk a little bit about how you go from fall, because Tristan's a member of the Team Wisconsin program and had a really good preseason balancing with their volleyball as well. Talk about how you go from the Team Wisconsin model to your high school model, and what do you take from one to the other?
Yeah, in Team Wisconsin, I feel like you learn a lot of the structure like based, and you're expected to play at that higher level. You're expected to know what's going on no matter what. And I feel like when you bring that to the high school level, you're looked at like a leader almost. Like you don't necessarily play the same structure that you have from Team Wisconsin to high school, but you're still looked upon, and little kids, like younger kids, freshmen, sophomores, look up to you because you know what's going on. Like they can ask you questions. They know that you know what's up.
You are a veteran. I mean, it's your fourth year on the varsity for the Central Wisconsin Storm. To be able to play as a freshman, as a sophomore, win a state championship. I had your numbers here. What, 25 goals, 39 assists for your career? How are you different as a hockey player at this point going into the senior year than you were when you first stepped on the ice as a freshman?
Yeah, I feel like I almost, going into this year, I just expect a lot more from myself. I feel like my freshman year, I came in, I was a little scared being a little freshman coming into high school, but I learned to like trust the upperclassmen. I really looked up to the upperclassmen, and now finally being an upperclassman, I realize like how much leadership you have to bring to the table to know that people can look up to you.
You had a hat trick your last regular season game last year. What was that like, I guess? Is that a highlight? Because I was looking at some of your numbers and looking at some of your, you know, maybe highlight games. To be able at the end of a season like that to sort of kind of build, do you feel like you've built to that point last season? And what was it like to get that hat trick? I mean, that's always a special moment for any hockey player, that first hat trick.
Yeah, even from coming to my beginning of my junior year to the end when I got my hat trick, I really felt like I put in a lot of work throughout the year. I feel like our structure was getting stronger, and having Hannah Bauman on my line really helped. Knowing that she graduated last year, well, really, this year we're going to need someone to fill that spot, and I feel like we have people who can do it. But getting that hat trick, it was something that I really enjoyed, and I knew that I could get the puck from my linemen and trust them right away.
I mentioned as well that you were part of the state championship team a couple of years ago. I mean, it's probably, I don't know if it's easy or hard to describe, but what was that like? Did it almost feel like it came so soon as a sophomore? The whole experience of winning a state championship and being as dominant as your team was at the state tournament, what was that experience like?
Yeah, I feel like it was unreal. Like, just even being there was insane, and then let alone win it was just something that any player could dream of. I feel like we came out that game against Onalaska. We just really wanted it. Like, we wanted it more than they did. We were hungry. Like, no matter what, I think our goalie only faced maybe 20 shots in that game. I feel like we played a lot in their zone. And, yeah, Sammy really stepped up in that game. She had 4 goals for us, which was huge. So I think we all around, it was crazy.
I just love watching student athletes talk about like pinnacles of sports. I mean, because you get to play in a lot of competitive environments, and for you to get to experience that pinnacle and just watching her rattle off who had points, like it's like you're replaying the game in your head as we sit here. And it's just, it's fun to watch those things, because those are stories that they're going to tell forever. And it's a bond that group had for sure.
We'll go back to the other hockey and your sports in a moment, but we like to kind of delve in a little bit, because somebody as busy as yourself being involved in all these sports during the course of the year, what do you try to do, or what do you like to do to maybe get away from it? Is there anything in particular that you like to do that's not sports related, or is it pretty much all sports related at this point?
It's mainly all sports, but when I can get a free weekend, I just go up north. I love hunting. Like, I live for it. Hunting's my favorite thing to do rather than sports. So this weekend coming up, I'm excited.
Do you have a favorite class?
Ooh, probably anything in the science department.
as a senior? Do you hope to continue your athletics at the next level? Where do you stand? Because I know hockey is always a little different than maybe other sports. Is hockey the sport you're looking to move forward on? Or, I mean, obviously you had such a terrific season with volleyball as well. What does the future look like?
As of right now, it looks like hockey will be my future. I'm still undecided yet, but it will for sure be something that I will continue on later after high school.
I always hate to ask it, but is hockey your favorite sport?
It is. Okay. It is.
The coaches I know is like, I think it was probably pretty much right out there.
So right now, as I talk to the seniors in my class and obviously some of my hockey guys, what's the college application process like for you? And have you started that? Have you picked kind of a let's say a top five of, obviously knowing hockey is going to be part of it, but have you started the application and academic side of things, and what's that like?
Yeah, obviously I applied a couple months ago to colleges just so I can get it out of the way, get it done with. Mm-hmm. Just going in, applying, getting your transcript in and everything was my main thing, just so I could get it over and done with and less worry about it right when school starts and sports obviously start up. So
we've seen a number of Central Wisconsin Storm players go on to the next level. Do you have any contact with anybody else who's gone through this process? Do you get any advice from anybody that may have been on the same path that you've been on?
Yes. I talked to Hannah Bauman, who graduated last year. Now she's playing at Northland. Maddox Federici is playing at St. Norbert, so I talked to her a little bit about it. And then, yeah, they just gave me, like, the gist of, like, what to do, what to expect. Even when you go on your visits to the colleges you want to go to, what they look for and what questions you should ask and what you should look forward to.
Let's talk about this year for the Storm. As you said, change. It sounds like some good change up to this point, but obviously you got a long road ahead. The winter sports season is always such a very long season since practice has started. Anything in particular outside of what you discussed with the coaching change, but with the girls, what are you finding out about this group? Because every group is different in terms of, you know, sometimes it can be hand in glove and other times it can be a little bit more work. What have you found out about your teammates up to this point?
Yeah, up to this point so far, it's been hand in glove pretty much. Like, everyone gets along with each other. Like, obviously, yes, you're not all best friends. You're all in your separate groups. But when the time comes, I feel like we all get along. We all know what's going on. And people take people under their wing and they just go with it. And I feel like there's a lot of respect shown this year than there was last year.
Talk about your multiple high schools coming together. What is the team bonding aspect? I mean, obviously you guys have been together for a group, but you got a group of freshmen that come in every year, and how do you guys get together, hang out, and create that team bond?
Yeah, so this past weekend we went to the school forest, which was a lot of fun. We got to spend time with a lot of the different schools, the different grades, and I feel like we all just bonded together by doing, like, different team bonding things. We learned that we could trust each other. And the incoming freshmen, I feel like they all somewhat know each other, get along, because they're all coming in at the same time. And I feel like they're almost like the little freshmen who are kind of nervous. But everyone from the other schools is very much accepting to other people. Like, they all know that there are backgrounds. They all know that everyone has come from different school, different grades, and they can all just get along.
As a senior, and especially with, as I think BJ kind of implied, with a lot, all these schools coming together, is leadership different maybe than on a volleyball team where it's moles and eight, where you know each other, you see each other in the halls every day at school? Is it more difficult to be a leader on a co-op team than it is to be maybe on a solo school team?
I feel like in high school, like going for Mosney volleyball, I feel like our leaders are, so we had, this year we had two seniors and one junior who are our captains this year, and I feel like throughout the halls, like, they looked up to them. They knew that they were always watching you, like, you were basically looked up to them. And then I feel like coming into a co-op, I feel like everyone, like, because we all vote for our captains that we want at the end, so I feel like if you come in and you show, like, respect to people right away, I feel like you will get on, like, the good side. Like, people will know where you're coming from, where your background, and I feel like they'll just trust you a lot more.
What does this team need to be better at than it has been in order to get back to that summit you were 2 years ago? As you go into this season, maybe what are the areas that you maybe found out last season? We have to be better in this area in order to be as successful as we want to be.
Yeah, for sure, communication was key last year. I feel like we lacked upon it. Just like the little fundamentals, even like passing, catching passes, the little things. I feel like this year we've started off and we're strong with. And then just breaking the puck out, getting it out right away. And then obviously our offensive zone, just controlling the puck. I feel like last year we did a lot of smacking at the puck, not really possessing it. And I feel like this year we've already started to possess a lot more than we did last year.
Between Mozanie and the Storm, you have different rivals. When you're playing, say, volleyball or softball, do you have a favorite rival? And do you have a favorite game or a rival in hockey when you look at the schedule? This is the game I'm looking forward to playing. It's always been a challenge. It's a rivalry game. I guess, number one, maybe your Mozanie rival and your Central Wisconsin Storm rival.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would say our Mozanie rival, our favorite one, is Wausau West, for sure. In volleyball, we didn't get to play them this past year, but when we played on my sophomore year, it was something that everyone looked forward to. No matter even if you were on the Storm team, like, just anyone looks forward to playing Wausau West. For Central Wisconsin, I feel like our biggest rival this year is going to be Hayward. A lot of the girls have talked about it. Like, we've got over, when we were over at the school forest, like, that was our main thing. Like, we want to take down Hayward no matter what. And we get them right away in the Galbert Cup, so I think we're ready for it.
And I guess finally, we always ask, especially our senior guests, you've obviously been through a lot in terms of all your sports and being able to be a varsity athlete starting as a freshman. For those young players, you said you got some of the young players as part of your Storm team, or maybe a volleyball team, a teammate, if somebody who's just starting their process. And if you could give a little bit of advice of what you've learned over the last few years, what would that piece of advice be to a younger teammate?
Yeah, for sure. Look up to your upperclassmen. Like, they're there to help you out, and they will willingly help you out. Also, it goes by fast. Everyone says, oh, yeah, it goes by fast, whatever, but it truly does. So take it all in. Play every game like it's your last, because one day it will be.
Tristan Wicklund of the Central Wisconsin Storm in Mozanie High School. The time is 8:49. More to come on Bull Falls Radio 98.9. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Looks like mostly cloudy skies right now. Temperature stands at 48 degrees here in downtown Wausau. It's going to be another warm one today. We'll get all the details from our meteorologist Jennifer Vuchiski coming up in about 15 minutes. But today it's going to be warm, and then tomorrow it's going to turn a lot chillier. So again, get out there and enjoy it today, as temperature is expected to get to about 60 degrees before all is said and done. A reminder that tonight we have high school basketball, as the Newman Catholic High School basketball team, the girls basketball team, gets underway for their 2023-2024 season, traveling to Assumption in the preseason rankings from wisports.net, which I always say are for entertainment purposes only, but still in the preseason rankings, Assumption ranked number one. So a big test for the Cards tonight. Newman Catholic at Assumption. I'll be in Wisconsin Rapids for the play-by-play, starting with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip at 7:15. And then don't forget tomorrow night, the Wausau West girls basketball team will open up their season traveling to Neenah. And Neenah, number two in Division One. So both Newman and Wausau West, a couple of very difficult road games to start off their season. But tomorrow night, Wausau West at Neenah, 7 o'clock again, right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in a little more than an hour, the start of the championship games for the state football down at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. A pair of Central Wisconsin teams made it to state, and they will be out on the field either this morning or early this afternoon. The Division 7 game will be first. That kicks off at 10 a.m., and the Edgar Wildcats 12-1 on the season, taking on Blackhawk Warren. Edgar has won 12 games in a row, making their first trip to the state final since 2019. Back in 2019, Edgar fell to Blackhawk Warren 6-0 in the championship round. 12-1 Edgar, 12-1 Blackhawk Warren. Again, that game will be kicking off just after 10 o'clock this morning in Madison. And then after that, at 1 o'clock, approximately 1 o'clock, the Division 6 state championship game will feature Stratford at 12-1. Their only loss came to Edgar back in week number 2. They have won 11 straight games. They take on Darlington, who is 12-1, and Stratford looking for back-to-back titles. Last season, they defeated Mondovi 32-14 in the Division 6 championship game. It is the 11th time that Stratford is making a trip to state. They have won 8 titles. Edgar also knows their way down to state, as Edgar appearing in their 14th championship game this morning, and they've won 7 state titles. So good luck to the Central Wisconsin teams involved in the state finals in high school football. Last night, the Milwaukee Bucks, no Giannis, but no problem. In fact, for the second time this season, season's only 11 games old, the Bucks went to Toronto. The first time around, the Raptors roughed up the Bucks, but this time around, it was pretty much all Milwaukee, as the Bucks jumped out to a 15-point lead after the first quarter, extended that lead to 23 points at halftime, and went on to defeat the Raptors by a score of 128-112. And without Giannis, their other superstar, Damian Lillard, he stepped up big time. Lillard had 37 points and a season-high 13 assists, and Malik Beasley scored a season-high 30 points for the Bucks. Nice feel for Milwaukee. It's been a bit of an up-and-down start for the Bucks so far this year. They, again, you know, getting used to a new coach, getting used to a new superstar point guard, and again, it's just been a little choppy up to this point, but that was a very impressive win last night. So Milwaukee improves to 7-4 on the season, and it's nice when you're struggling just a little bit to still be at 7-4. And the Bucks will visit the Charlotte Hornets coming up on Friday. That's also part of that new in-season tournament. This year, the NBA, they try to, I think, get some excitement early in the season. It's such a long regular season. They have an in-season tournament, and the Bucks won their first game in this in-season tournament back a couple of weeks ago against the Knicks, and now they'll take on the Charlotte Hornets in the second round tonight. That game, part of this tournament, but it also counts as part of the regular season standings. Getting closer and closer to the weekend, of course, the Wisconsin Badgers will be in action on Saturday night. Primetime football, the Badgers trying to get that sixth win to continue their 22-year stretch of appearing in a bowl game. And the Badgers take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And really, again, Badgers need something good to happen. It's been such a struggle in recent weeks. They've lost 4 of their last 5 games. Even the game that they won was a big struggle, as they came from behind in the fourth quarter to defeat the Fighting Illini of Illinois. But Badgers have games against Nebraska and against Minnesota to wrap up the season, and they need to win at least one of those games to make sure that they are eligible for a bowl game. Again, the Badgers have one of the longest bowl streaks in the country at 22 years in a row. And the Green Bay Packers, like the Wisconsin Badgers, trying to get something going. The Packers, coming off their loss last weekend against Pittsburgh, came up just short, and the Packers will play host to the L.A. Chargers. Again, the Chargers also struggling just a little bit. They had a heartbreaker last weekend, falling on a last-second field goal to the Detroit Lions. But the Packers, recently, the only teams they're able to beat are L.A. teams. 2 weeks ago, they knocked off the L.A. Rams at Lambeau Field, and they will take on the L.A. Chargers at Lambeau Field with kickoff coming up at 12 noon on Sunday. Well, coming up, we have an update on the news. CBS News at the top of the hour. Again, some news involving the Israel-Hamas conflict. We'll check out those headlines and all the national and world headlines with CBS. We'll also have another look from our Civic Media newsroom on what's going on here in the state of Wisconsin. And Brittany Merlot will also have a look at area news here on Bull Falls Radio, plus Mike Clemens with the latest sports. So, again, we try to keep all the information for you as well at the top and the bottom of each hour. Coming up at 9:06 as well, it will be Jennifer Vuchiski with a look at the weather for the end of the work week and into the weekend. And then at 9:20, our guest will be the president of the Wausau School Board, Jim Boucher, who will talk about the latest from the school board this week, the change in terms of the consolidation of the high schools. Changes that were planned for the middle schools as well have been taken off the board, while elementary schools will continue to be looked at in terms of consolidation and changes on that front. So Jim Boucher, school board president, coming up at 9:20. The time is 8:58. I'm Chad Holmes. Glad you could be with us. Another hour of the Chad Holmes Show coming up on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.